This episode of Finding Fairways was pre-recorded and is a production of Blarney Stone Broadcasting. Good morning, Michigan golfers. Welcome to Finding Fairways, brought to us by carlsgolfland.com. Jerry Coyne will be in studio today with a multitude of guests as the best of lists for 2021 have made it to the newsstands. Golf Digest has released their top 200 in America, and Golf Magazine has released their 100 best you can play. So we'll have a number of our co-hosts weighing in today to talk about that list and some of their favorites. Joining me now is Kevin Frisch, who is a course raider. Golf Digest?
Golf Digest, Jerry. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, and the weather's starting to warm up, so we can start teeing it up.
God bless it, no. So how many courses have you raided in your experience for Golf Digest?
I would probably say 75 to 100.
Wow. That's pretty cool. One of your favorites made it the list this year, the Kingsley Club.
Well, Kingsley Club finally broke into the top 100 greatest in Golf Magazine, which was really nice to see. I mean, it's a really cool golf course, and you know, golf course design has evolved over the years. It's really interesting. When Golf Digest started their list, in 1966, I think it's the oldest list out of all of them.
Sure.
You had a lot of classic courses, because back then that's mostly what you had. You had some higher end publics back then, but not like you do today.
Right.
And then kind of from the 70s and 80s, and then the golf boom, the construction boom, in the 80s and 90s, you saw a lot of courses shift and kind of fall off the list to replace by these new ones. And
yep.
Now, since 2000, you've had a lot of these newer neo-classic, which I would define as a lot of newer courses that had a lot of the old classic principles of design and a lot of multiple options, things you can do differently. And, places like Bandon Dunes, Stream Song, Sand Valley,
right.
Kingsley Club is in that category, The Loop, at Forest Dunes.
Mm-hmm.
You're seeing a lot of these courses now kind of moving into the list, and some of these designs from the 70s and 80s kind of moving off the list, which is in some of the 90s, which is unfortunate because there was a lot of good golf courses back then. But it's another shift in the architectural rating of golf courses that's happening right now.
Yeah, as usual, I put together I drew up the courses of the top 200 that I've had the opportunity to play. Right now, I'm at 30, and then 22 of the 100 that they had listed in Golf Magazine. And some of those are the same, like Pebble Beach and TPC Sawgrass. But
right.
What are some of the courses that kind of jumped out at you that were surprising additions or courses that dropped out of either one of these lists?
Well, I think we were talking about a second ago where you have this shift of some of these kind of set courses from the 70s, 80s, 90s that might be getting bumped off a little bit for some of these newer neoclassic style courses. Golf Magazine's top 100 list is kind of showing that. There you can see there's new ones that are added on, and if you look at the new ones, they're either the old classics or some of these newer ones built after 2000.
Right.
Like Kingsley Club built after 2000, that's on the list. But with Golf Digest sometimes courses on the Golf Digest list can get higher ratings based on the overall experience versus the architectural integrity of the course.
Some of that's fair
all the time, but sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes. So I'm looking at the list and I'm looking down at the top of the list. You got Pine Valley, Augusta National, Cypress Point, Shinnecock, Oakmont, Marion, National Golf Links, Pebble Beach. You can't argue any of those. Well, then you go down to number 15, Murfield Village Golf Club.
It's a great golf course. I played it a number of times.
You played it. It's, yep. It's a good golf. It's really good, but I don't, and I haven't played it, so I'm not gonna be too critical. But I've heard other people saying that have played it that it doesn't belong at 15. That they're not saying it doesn't belong in the top 100, but it doesn't belong at 15.
It's an amazing experience. There's for me, it's an amazing.
That's where yep. they're talking about. You've got a lot of places that have big, huge, beautiful clubhouses. Immaculate conditions, exemplary service, and a lot of times, sometimes that can have weight on how a golf course is ranked. It's not always just about how great of a design the course is. And I'm not saying that's negative or bad, but that's just how the process works.
Yeah, sometimes. But then you look at Crystal Downs, which hasn't changed a bit. You know, the facilities are certainly not modern. But the golf course just continues to hold up as, you know, a McKenzie classic. So I guess depending
and,
on
– let's talk about – yeah.
No, I understand. In some – especially like if you're on a golf trip with your buddies, amenities can mean stuff to you. On the golf magazine list, the RTJ course at Opelika is on there. It's one of the hardest golf courses I've ever played, and I think it deserves to be on this list, but the amenities are amazing, and there's a par 3 course there that's even harder than the regular golf course. Sometimes, you know, I think you do have to take the experience in. You can't just all take it from a flat-out golf architecture place, or Pebble Beach would never be in the top 3. You know, the golf course, if you put it in the middle of the country and it's not on the Pacific Ocean, what is Pebble Beach?
Right, right. No, I totally agree. Kingsley Club's a good example of that. You know, you've been to Kingsley. You drive in on a dirt road.
Yep.
You kind of find this place. It's kind of this mystical place. It's really cool. And you come in, and the golf course, from a design and architecture standpoint, is spectacular. There's no lavish clubhouse.
Nope.
There's a deck and get a hot dog, but you're not overwhelmed with a huge clubhouse and details and things like that. It's all about the golf course.
Right.
And, you know, there's just different ways of looking at it depending on who's rating it.
Let's get into the courses. Like we talk about Kingsley, that's here in Northern Michigan. It is private. You've got a fair number of the golf courses that we talk about on this show all the time. Forest Dunes, both courses, both the Loop and the original Weisskopf design showed up on the list. The
both courses at Arcadia Bluffs.
Yeah, I was surprised.
Top 100 you can play list. So these are top public courses.
Yeah, and I was surprised at the new course at Arcadia. I haven't played it yet. I know a lot of people, including yourself, that have, that would debate whether it deserves to be on this list or not.
I thought they did a really good job with design. It was kind of Dana Fry did it. He also did Aaron Hills.
Yep.
That held the U.S. Open. It's paying an homage to Chicago Golf Club.
Yep.
Which is a filling half, Seth Rainer. Where you have square greens, square bunkers. And I've played Chicago Golf Club too.
Well, lucky you.
They really did a fantastic job with the features of the course. Now, it's not the same from the width of fairways. Some of the size of the greens might be the same, but overall, you know, Arcadia is just a little bit bigger scale of what that is, and that's perfect because it's for resort guests and for people to go play it. But it is a unique experience. I'm not going to argue that it shouldn't be on the list.
There's you know, Gray Walls made it. We've talked about there. I haven't gotten up there. There's a few courses I need to talk to you about that I've got to get on, like French Lick, which is one of your clients is on here. I still haven't gotten down there to play in both of the courses.
The Ross course at French Lick was 57.
Yeah.
But here's an interesting thing. The Dye course there, which is really cool. It's different. It's unique. But it's more of a modern difficult Dye. That didn't make the list. But the old classic Donald Ross course did.
Yeah. Your Stoughton Bray made it, and I won't tell you what Dan Pohl says about that golf course. He played the Pro there a couple weeks ago, and he frankly hated it. So,
well,
he played with Jeff Roth. Roth was a little bit more forgiving about it, but I think part of the problem that they both mentioned is that you have to play it a few times to even understand where to hit the ball.
Well, the Loop is a lot like that, and a lot of these newer golf courses are, especially when they play it, when they build them to be firm and fast.
Yeah.
And it's not, I would call it multi-dimensional, where, you know, you have golf courses where if you get the yardage at 150 yards, you pull it, you hit it 150 yards. Well, a lot of times, you know, whether it's the Loop, Stoughton Bray, Kingsley Club, even the new course at Arcadia, you have to play for the bounce. And that's what a lot of these old classic courses used to do, is you used to play like that. And so, some people, if they haven't played it for the first time and they're hitting shots and they're seeing them bound over the green, and it can be frustrating. And sometimes you have to play them a couple times to learn it. But once you do, it's a lot of fun.
It was nice to see some additions to the top 200, like the latest course I played, Trump International, made the list. And I got to tell you, I was so very
you have
much
a story there too.
Huh?
You have a story there too, I think, right?
I don't. think I've told it on the air yet, but a friend of mine became a member at Trump International down in West Palm Beach. And when I was down there in Florida in February, we went to play it. And when we were making the turn, we walked into the incredibly palatial Men's Grill. And let me first tell you that this is one of the most stunning facilities I've seen. The range complex is amazing. The men's locker room and Men's Grill were just amazing. But there was a Secret Service agent there, so we kind of knew that the president was on the property. And as a matter of fact, as we were getting our drinks, we saw him in the corner. So my buddy Steve, who's the member, went over, had his picture taken with a couple of the guys. I ran into the pro shop and grabbed bought a hat from Trump International, and I asked President Trump to sign it. And he was looking at the hat, and he's looking at his logo, which happens to be on just about everything at the club. And he goes, "This is a pretty nice hat, isn't it?" I go, "Well, I'm not going to kid you, Mr. President. It wasn't cheap, but when you're done signing it, it's going to be worth a hell of a lot more." And I've got the photos of it. You've seen it. It's pretty cool. But I give Trump credit. That course is great. A couple of his courses. Well, Bedmeister was supposed to have the PGA. It was pulled from there. But all of his the golf courses under the Trump mantle are very well considered.
Hey, and we should give a shout out too. In addition to these rankings, you know, the Golf Digest also put out the, you know, its top courses in each state. You know, you got Crystal Downs 1, Oakland Hills 2. Which could change after that renovation. And then you've got Arcadia Bluffs, Kingsley Club, and Forest Dunes in the top five. But some new additions to the list are Boyne Highlands, the Heather.
Uh-huh.
Just got into that list, which is very worthy. That's old Robert Trent Jones Sr., which is classic.
Oh, it's a great golf course, no doubt.
You know, great golf course and very worthy of being on that list. Shepherd's Hollow in Detroit, Pilgrim's Run, the Golf Club at Harbor Shores, those are all new ones made the list. So it's cool. It's seeing that... A lot of years, this list has not changed much, but some of the criteria to be on the list is changing, and they're trying to get more raiders out to these golf courses.
Well, Bay Harbor has been on and off this list. It hasn't been on for a while. It used to be a mainstay here, which is kind of surprising. And then the one big omission that I always see from Northern Michigan, and you and I have talked about it never really on the air, is Cedar River. I think the Weisskopf design at Chaney Creek is my favorite course to play. In Northern Michigan. I think it's an amazing collection of routed holes and different looks just about every hole. I do envy you. I'd love to have the ability to call up a place and say, "Yeah, I'd like to come over and rate your golf course." But
I don't play as many as you know, the number that I said, 75 to 100. You know, I've been a rater for 15 years, and you know, part of that means I have to have time to travel and play.
Right.
You actually have me beat, by the way. I've only played 25 of the courses that are in the top 200. So
I have the West Coast advantage over you. Kevin, it's always interesting to talk this, and we've been trying to figure out a way to put it into the show for a while. So thanks for taking time out and going over the top lists of the golf courses in America, and especially here in Northern Michigan.
Absolutely, Jerry. Sounds good. We'll see you on the tee.
All right. We'll be back after these words from our fine partners on Finding Fairways, brought to us by carlsgolfland.com. All right. It's time to check in with our friends at carlsgolfland.com. Tim Coyle's on the phone with me. Tim, you and I were talking off air, and I still am amazed by how involved my fitting session at Bloomfield Hills was. But you guys have a number of different ways to get people the clubs that fit them the right way.
Yeah, for sure. You know, to speak to your point, we leave no stone unturned when it comes to fitting. You know, whether that be through our standard fittings, our free standard fittings, or the launch pad performance fittings that we have here at our Bloomfield location. Yeah, we've been getting tons of questions about fitting. It's kind of the flavor of the week. You know, customers calling to schedule a fitting, you know, what they have to do to sign up, and misconception, but we have free standard fittings that we perform at both store locations every day. You know, we go through hundreds of these fittings every week with our club technicians here, demoing clubs, working with them, your feedback, their feedback, narrowing it down, and then ultimately making sure the club fits into your bag, fits your game. And, you know, looking at different custom options in terms of, you know, loft lie, shaft options, grip options. You know, and it's no different than our performance fittings in the launch pad, which are by appointment. We're booked out about a month there now. Those are filling up. But, yeah, we offer all sorts of different kinds of fittings. But, yeah, the appointment is not always necessary when it comes to fittings here at Carl's.
Yeah, you want to try out a new driver, go to Carl's. You can go on the range with the TrackMan, start demoing a couple of clubs or two. One of the sales guys will ultimately want to help you to get the right club, because that's what Carl's is all about. And, you know, speaking of the explosion in golf, I love seeing every day or every other day, Tim, something pop up in my email from Carl's Golfland. And especially with stock and the availability, people should go to carlsgolfland.com and register for all the updates.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, email is, you know, the way we regularly communicate with our customers. It's the easiest form. You could go right on our website, or actually any page on our website, homepage, doesn't matter. In the footer of there, you can sign up with your email. There's so many things going in and out of stock, and stuff that's in high demand. So, you know, whether we have a promotion, limited time offer, limited edition gear, you know, anything going on, email is going to be our way that we communicate that to our customers. So it's definitely a valuable tool if you're in the market for anything golf-wise.
There's no doubt about it. That's why carlsgolfland.com is the best website for golf gear. Tim Coyle, thanks for joining us from Carl's.
Thank you, Jerry. Appreciate it.
carlsgolfland.com. Jerry Coyne in studio with Don Holinsky. And as we referenced in our last segment, Kevin Frisch and I talking about the brand new course ratings for Golf Digest, which is, Don, usually a highlight of the year, right? I mean, for us golf aficionados, you want to see what courses you've played and what's moved up and what's moved down. And, of course, Forest Dunes is a big part of that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's kind of like one of those things with the college football season. And, yeah, you know, it's here when all the preseason polls start coming out. And, well, who does this magazine have as number one? Who does this magazine have as number one? So again, to see that come out and to be included in that great company is definitely something that's an honor that we take a lot of pride in.
So where did you end up this year?
Well,
there's the Golf Digest and Golf Magazine.
And Golf Magazine. And the Golf Magazine, the one that just came out, was the top 100 that you can play.
Right.
So that's all the public courses. And the Loop is the top-ranked public course in the state of Michigan, coming in at number 34. And the Weisskopf course, the original Forest Dunes course, came in at number 73. So both courses are ranked there in the top 100, and six from the state of Michigan were included in that list. So definitely something that we take a lot of pride in.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And the Golf Digest is more of the top 200 in America, which includes private courses. You've got resort courses, and then you've got courses that you can play sometimes. So, and the Loop ended up in there as well.
Actually, it was the Forest Dunes course that is ranked in the top 200, and that checks in at number 163, the Weisskopf design on the top 200 overall. Again, that's Pine Valley number one, Augusta
right,
number two, Cypress number three, Shinnecock four, and Oakmont five.
Yeah.
So those are all the big boys, and again, a lot of the courses from the state as well, such as Crystal Downs and Oakland Hills, obviously making that top 30 as they always
right,
do.
Right, but there's a couple of the resort courses from the state of Michigan that also made that top 200, so they represented all the way across the board. But like you said, it's kind of funny that us golf geeks get so excited to see where that is, because it changes every year.
Right, and that's the one kind of fun thing when you look at the top 10. Oh, well, Pebble Beach isn't number one this year. Why, you know, why not? What changed?
Right.
You know, maybe now Pacific Dunes bumped ahead of them, or one of the other abandoned courses.
We'll
or
see what happens with Oakland Hills, as they just got done with another redo. So I know the members, the reason why they put $16 million into the golf course is they want to see that their ranking rise and get a U.S. Open. So once you land a major, some of these courses, they're all playing one-upmanship.
Oh, absolutely. And it being in the industry, it's something that you obviously pay attention to, and you want to be cognizant of where you are ranking and how you're doing and improve. And at
right.
the same time, it's different individual panels. Each magazine has its own with various requirements,
criteria,
various sizes.
Yeah, right.
And you get a good mix of different opinions.
Well, and it's a list. I mean, for a long time when I was younger, I had the opportunity to play a lot of these courses, and then you get it in your mind, I want to play as many courses as possible on these lists. And that's it's good to have Forest Dune represented on both lists because there's still a lot of that going on.
Oh, absolutely. You know, it is a checklist kind of bucket thing, and they sell different posters or plaques that list them all, and you can put a little peg next to
yeah.
the ones that you had the opportunity to play. So
I'm surprised none of my kids ever got me that for Father's Day, to be honest with you. You know, so bringing that up a little bit, the Weisskopf course has been there for quite some time. Has anybody ever discussed, you know, possible changes, upgrades to the course? I mean, obviously, it's still ranked very high. But, you know, after 20 years or so, a lot of places will start thinking about making alterations.
Well, absolutely. You know, the number one thing we have or consideration as we look ahead is the bunkering.
Right.
That's one of the very first things to go with the normal wear and tear.
No doubt.
Unfortunately for Forest Dunes, there's a lot of bunkers.
Yeah.
You know, that's Weisskopf. You know,
well, some of them are real bunkers, and then you got a lot of the waste areas,
yeah,
too.
But it's primarily the actual bunkers, not the waste areas, the bunkers that need to be built and get worn. And we have quite a few. I want to say there's close to 100 bunkers on there. And especially at that time period when that course was designed, that was the
right.
thing.
Yeah.
And the biggest thing with that is the maintenance of them and having to maintain them and push them up on a daily basis to keep them built.
Yeah.
So that's the one main thing that will continue to be and with our new ownership. And they may have some different goals down the road as we look to expand and you know, a lot of courses, the big name courses, whether it be some of the Pinehurst or that,
right.
are going through some renovations.
No doubt
well.
About so it. If you want to keep relevant and you want to keep in the top of the news, hey, look, Kevin and I were talking, there's a couple courses that are beloved up here in northern Michigan that really have some issues with their bunkers. I won't get into the resort that it is, especially when you build a golf course in northern Michigan and you put these bunkers into side of hills and everything else like you have at Forest Dunes and a lot of other places. It gets to be an issue. When you first design, it looks great. But day in, day out, it's a lot of work.
And there's a lot of technology that has changed with the different liners and philosophies of how you can. But obviously, especially up here in northern Michigan, with the temperature swings that we have and the earth moving and the rocks and things getting pushed up. So it's a challenge. And one of the reasons why our greenskeeping staff is the most valuable people on staff is they have to judge that. And it's more of an art than a science, just like farming. And having to battle all those different elements in the surprises that they throw at you, this while maintaining the course to the expectations that the guests
and
have
still
when
run
they
a lot of
rankings.
Rounds on the golf course as well. So
yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
You're not a private facility that closes every day. You know, it closes once a week, so it makes it a little bit more difficult. Speaking of open, Forest Dunes opened last weekend, right?
Absolutely, yes. But you know, unfortunately, the weather wasn't as great as we would all have hoped. But the coming next 10 days here look absolutely great, and we are booked very solid here, particularly on the weekends. But the big thing is we've got 16 speakers now out on the Bootlegger, and it is the coolest thing. It totally changes the vibe out there and picks everything
to get
up.
Out there,
and
right.
It was a lot cooler than I thought it would be. So.
Yeah, that's fantastic. As I said, it's a great par 3 course. You only need a couple clubs to play it. But now we want to amp up the real casual party value of playing that way. Not that we don't care about what we're doing, but it's way more fun.
Yeah, it's more about the group of people that you're playing with, and we allow you to play with groups of up to 8 players. All you need is a couple clubs, like you said, a beer in one hand, and off you go. And
have you perfected that? The one-hand beer, one-hand swing?
Yeah, but the style of play is very similar to the loop in that fescue grass and very fast and firm.
Bump and run. Yep.
And it's the most elevation change that you have. have on the property. So there's a lot of hit it off the hillside and it'll carry them onto the green and be a great shot, even though it looked like you were going to shank one. And it's just a lot of fun. And you see all the groups in front of you and behind you, almost like miniature putt-putt golf. And yeah. You hear the hooting and hollering. And when you get big groups of people that your travel companions and you see all that going on, it's a whale of a time.
Yep. Don, we're going to have you. You're going to be co-hosting back with me next week, and your owner hopefully will be joining us.
Yes, we'll have Rich Mack is going to be in town for the first time as an owner on property, and also Tom Sunderberg, the two that purchased the property in early January. We'll have a lot of things to share, I'm sure, in the future as well.
That'll be great. So we'll look forward to having you co-hosting next week. We'll be back after these words from our fine partners on Finding Fairways, brought to us by CarlsGolfland.com. Back to Finding Fairways, brought to us by CarlsGolfland.com. Jerry Coyne in studio on the phone with one of our co-hosts, Dan Pohl, who, of course, played on the PGA Tour for many years and designed the Polecat. And we wanted to get Dan's opinion about what we've been discussing today. America's Greatest Top 200 Courses list has just come out from Golf Digest, and the top 100 you can play. And Dan, I know I was talking to you off air a little bit, and you have an issue with some of the ways some of these courses are rated. So I wanted to just throw that list out and get kind of your own list or bucket list of courses that you would love to play again.
Well, I think there's, you know, it's an evaluation and so hard to really critique a golf course that's along the ocean versus one that's in the middle of Ohio or Michigan or wherever.
Sure.
You know, I kind of, when people ask me about golf courses, Jerry, I try to say, okay, what style or what part of the country? I mean, people saw Seminole here in the Walker Cup, and it's, you know, just an unbelievable piece of small property there.
Right.
Could most people play it, or would they put it on their bucket list if they had a chance to play it? I'm not sure, especially because of the difficulty of the green complexes and stuff. But recognized worldwide as one of the, you know, one of the bucket list places to play.
Sure.
But again, for the average player, how much fun would he have playing it? So it's really, to me, a very tough breakdown of what the board and the people that are making these choices are looking for. And in a lot of cases, I may not agree, but I'm not on that board.
Well, you're right about Seminole. My father played it, you know, when he was still an okay player, and I've always wanted to play that golf course. And he said, Jerry, it was impossible to play. So,
I played in the Pro-Am that they have following the Honda Classic a few different times with a friend of mine, Fred Cox. It was he lives down there, and I've played it under, you know, difficult situations. And you know, when the wind blows, it's really a monster. But it's really the green complexes and their speed and their firmness that make
right.
It is. And I think in that case, it's this small piece of property that they fit this unbelievable grouping of holes on. Would you say that all of them fit everybody's eye? Heck no.
Right.
You know, when I play 18, there's no way I can hit the fairway on 18 with the left to right wind and my cut. So I'd have been down there in that driving range with most of the Walker Cuppers, or, you know, where they're hitting their second shots, just because it's such a difficult approach.
Sure.
And drive if you got a left to right wind. But, you know, that happens with most courses. There's, you know, you can't have 18 of the world's best all together. Otherwise, there wouldn't be any other courses that would compare.
Yeah, we're going to have you on next week for our PGA preview program. Have you ever played Kiwa?
I have, and it beat me to death, and I couldn't wait to get off of it. I actually played I think it was a senior PGA championship there, and it's just like every shot, every hole, if you mishit it a little bit, you know, any number is possible. So when you get in there to the par 3 17th and some of those ones where there isn't even a bailout, now whether or not they've changed that would be interesting to see. But, you know, places like Kiowa just, I think, you know, yeah, beautiful, you know, place. The facility really isn't, you know, along the water to speak of, but it just beats you to death. And I'm not sure that most people want to, you know, have fun playing golf, not just say, yeah, I played Kiowa, but I shot 147. That's not what I look at anyway.
Well, there's a lot of courses that have a reputation that pros absolutely love to play, like TPC Sawgrass.
I think TPC Sawgrass has been, has been softened up over the years.
Right.
When we first played it and actually played across the street at Sawgrass Country Club, it was the toughest golf course I had ever played, period.
Really?
The wind blew, and yes, I mean, the Sawgrass Country Club was amazing. And
right.
That's, some of the guys that would shoot even par, I think I finished eighth there one year and just played the best I could play. So, you know, again, the TPC over the years is, you know, the green complex are still going to be difficult,
yep.
Depending on the firmness of the greens. But, you know, they've taken a lot of that area that was penalized. You know, if you missed it to the right on 10 when we first started playing there, you were dead. You were in a palmetto bush or you were somewhere where you were dropping as an unplayable.
So, right.
Over the years, we look at courses and say, okay, what's continuing to make them a great golf course? And I think it's the ability, or in some cases, the inability to have to change a lot to still be considered great.
Well, nothing has changed more over the years than Augusta, right?
Well, just lengthwise. When I was there here, after 32 years,
right.
You would still see the same visuals off the tees, except for maybe the expanded bunkers out for force carries. The just moving it back didn't change the green complexes. I still think, in my mind, I would not have ever changed number 7. Augusta's, that's going to be forever. You're
right.
Going to have the ability to buy up some property around it and create the same visual was at 420. It looks almost the dead same at 480.
Right.
18, when I stood on the 18th tee, it didn't really look any different than what when we played it, in the 80s. It was just, 30 or 40 yards longer.
So, Dan, I know you and I were talking off air, and Pebble is one of those places that, you would go back to time and time again. But I want to ask you about maybe in the back of your mind a course that you think is just amazing that most people wouldn't think about. Maybe doesn't appear on these lists, or it doesn't. It's way down there. So what's a course that you like to tell people that this is a fabulous set of 18 holes?
Wow. And that's a tough one. I mean, because you got to look at, to me, you break courses down into the private sector that people can, have the money to continually upgrade and do things. You look at the upscale public golf courses. You look at just regular public. I mean, as you mentioned, Pebble Beach, for most tour players, if they said, could you play one more course, one time with the father or anything else, most of them would say Pebble Beach.
Right.
I always love the middle portion of the country. I think courses like Chicago Golf Club, Bobolink, even coming into Michigan and look at Point of Woods.
Right.
And some of the old school looks. And I haven't been back to play those. But I know when I played them the first time, I just went, wow. They're still well-recognized and known throughout the community, so I'm not sure that any way that the golf community doesn't know about most courses that are out there. And as you know me, I don't really go places to play golf. I'm not going to take a trip to play golf just to say that I played it. That's not me.
No, I know.
I've never played. Yeah. I've never played out in Bend. I haven't played any of those that are out on that Portland area or Bend, Oregon area.
Yeah, Pacific Dunes, Bandon Dunes, right, yeah. Right.
I haven't played across the Whistling Straits, so I can't compare courses like that. But I will say that I love, the
classics.
Scarlet Golf Course at Ohio State.
Yeah.
And, some of those mid-Michigan and mid-Ohio and Indiana and Illinois places that just are right there in front of you.
Bent grass greens and the traditional Point of Woods.
When they went to the TPC network, I think it was fantastic for stadium golf and watching and everything else. But the green configurations and the way iron play was then changed in my mind. I mean, you look at the old Rivieras and, the great little par fours of 10 at Riviera. You go to, Firestone and look at one of the most difficult par 70 courses you'll ever play with
yep.
small greens,
mm-hmm.
difficult shots. And then you went to the TPC type stuff with the bigger areas, the mounding, where if you hit a decent iron and it kind of rolled 8 feet away with the wrong spin, it's down 40 or 50 feet. I had a more difficult time from a player standpoint with that. Not that it's a bad design feature, but I just felt like, you know, my iron play aggressively cost me more there. So I kind of look at Riviera, I look at Colonial and Fort Worth,
right,
as those old traditional styles of small greens where you hit a good iron shot, you got rewarded for it with a potential, 10, 12, 15 footer, not a 40 footer with 8 foot of break and up one slope and down.
Dan, thanks for taking the time to join us, and we look forward to having you for our next major, which is next week at the aforementioned.
Yeah, I look forward to it because I want to see how many people are crying. If Kiowa plays tough and the wind blows, we might have some guys, kind of just leaving the premises with their heads down.
Yeah, well, it's going to be interesting, and we're going to get all your assessment of it next week on Finding Fairways. Thanks, Dan.
Yeah, take care.
All right, we'll be back after these words from our fine partners on Finding Fairways, brought to us by CarlsGolfland.com. Back to Finding Fairways, brought to us by CarlsGolfland.com. Jerry Coyne in studio with Dr. Andrew Gorecki, who's got a golf pain clinic coming up, May 22nd?
Yeah, Saturday morning, May 22nd.
So talk about that a little bit, Andrew.
Yes, thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming in.
Yeah, we've done this a couple years now in the spring. I'm a big golfer. I'm a physical therapist, but I'm also a Nike golf performance specialist. And really what that means is I'm trained to help people that have pain or performance issues get back to golfing. And we're going to teach people how, really the theme of the workshop is going to be that where it's hurting typically is not the part that is actually dysfunctional.
Okay.
So it's usually the areas above and below that are not moving properly, and we're going to teach people all the tricks and strategies that I've learned from the Nike Golf Performance Institute, how to help you get back and golf at your best.
Before we get into what's going to happen at the workshop, talk a little bit about the Nike performance thing. So do you do that at golf clubs, or how does that work?
Yeah.
Is that like I see the Titleist workout things and all
it's similar
that.
To the Titleist. So
okay.
Actually, the physical therapist that my professor that I learned from, his name was Gary Gray. He's got a company called The Great Institute, and he was actually Tiger Woods' physical therapist.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's
well,
pretty cool.
That's
right?
Validation, isn't
so
it?
So yeah. Tiger introduces him to Nike, and their whole vision was kind of like Tom Brady has the TB12 Institute, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think at one point, this was about 7 or 8 years ago, Tiger Woods was thinking about that, I believe. And so this program came to fruition where they took basically the movement professionals in healthcare, and they taught them over I believe it was 20 hours online and then a 4-day weekend, taught us all the things that we already know as healthcare providers, but how to put it all together and understand the golfer better.
Got it.
Yeah.
So this isn't really the Nike... The Nike Performance Program isn't speed training or things like that. This is more about keeping your body intact while you play a lot of golf.
Right. It's really understanding the biomechanics of the golf swing.
Okay.
And then understanding the common issues that people have that make them either have performance, I call them energy leaks.
Okay.
Or pain, right? They typically go together. If you've got pain, there's usually something in your body that's causing you to move differently.
Right. Somebody was talking to me, Joe Charles, as a matter of fact, who's the head of golf instruction at Boyne Golf Academy. Obviously, as you get older, you lose some flexibility.
Right.
And you've got to have a different set of training and lessons and workshops for guys that are older, because you can't swing the club like Dustin Johnson.
Right.
And when you buy Golf Magazine or Golf Digest, you've got all these guys swinging at 125 miles an hour. That ain't happening for me.
Exactly. And it's also, what it's not is it's not taking the place of a golf pro where they're teaching you about swing mechanics.
Right.
That's not my job. My job is to say, actually, if you pair the two up, a couple years ago we did this with a golf pro at Bay Meadows, Travis Cam, and we, it's a good pair when you can have the golf swing professional paired up with the movement professional.
Right.
That's really my job, is to understand, okay, if you want them to move this way, where in the body are they lacking motion so that they, that it's preventing them from getting where they need to be.
So the free golf pain and performance workshop that's happening at 10 a.m. on May 22nd, that's 3899 West Front Street.
Yep, right at Superior Physical Therapy.
Oh, okay. That's... Yep.
That's my clinic. Yeah, yeah, it's my business.
You got a good location.
Yes.
Yeah. So people can, how do the people sign up for the clinic?
So they can go to golfpainhelp.com.
Right.
That's golfpainhelp.com. Or they can call us directly at 231-944-6541.
Yep. Which is what I did. I saw it on Facebook, and I thought this would be of interest to a lot of golfers. So what's going to happen on Saturday, May 22nd?
So I'm going to spend about an hour talking with them about the three most common areas in the body that get that lose motion mm-hmm. or strength that cause about 80% of the pain problems that people have.
Right.
And those three, I'll give you kind of a sneak peek. The three areas in the body that are the most likely to go wrong would be the hips.
Right.
The ankles.
Right.
And the upper spine.
Yeah.
And so whether you're struggling with shoulder pain or neck pain or back pain is the most common.
Right. And mine is lower back pain.
Right.
But as we were talking off air, I have a couple other things that are probably making that lower area. That's not the actual problem.
Right. And most people have a hard time. Most healthcare professionals only focus on the area that's painful. Right. So if it's your low back, they're going to stretch it, strengthen it, massage it, heat it up, cool it down.
Inject it.
Inject it. Right.
Right.
Provide surgery to it. And in reality, that is not the actual dysfunction. It is it's like the check engine light's on. You're having pain, but the real dysfunction is either below or above.
It's the transmission or the fuel line or something else.
Okay. Right. Right.
That makes a ton of sense. Mm-hmm. And the workshop is free.
It's free. Totally free. And everybody that comes is going to get an opportunity to qualify for a free exam where I'll take them through the Nike Golf Performance Assessment, which looks at the hips, the ankle, and the upper spine. And it kind of gives them a sense of where you're successful and where you're not. And it'll give you at least some areas to focus on.
Very cool. And you said you've done this in the past. Like, how long have you been working with golfers on alleviating pain, Andrew?
You know, it's been about 7 or 8 years now that I've been really focused on that. And I really enjoy it. The reason I enjoy golfers so much is because not only will their pain get better, but they have an objective measure. They can tell. Usually when the pain goes away, they also start to hit the ball longer.
Right.
And so they always come back.
Well, they can practice now, and their game's just going to get better.
Right.
You know, one of the big problems, I'm sure you've heard a ton of times, not just hitting the ball farther, you can't practice putting because you're hunched over, and that gets to be an issue. So pain is not the friend of the golfer.
Right, and it's the most extreme motion for the low back of any other sport. So there's a lot of, I mean, I think the stats are like 80% of golfers miss at least 2 weeks a year because of pain. So it's very prevalent. I enjoy the game. I enjoy it for reasons like hanging out with people and being out in nature. And
you got your kids that are playing now.
Kids are playing junior golf at Bay Meadows is awesome. So you got to be able to do the things you love in life. And it's when pain is stopping you, it's really sad.
Other than the website that we just talked about, which is, again,
golfpainhelp.com.
Golfpainhelp.com. You also have the Nike Golf Institute that you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
Superior Physical Therapy.
Yes, yep.
Talk about that for a second.
Yeah, so Superior Physical Therapy has 13 doctors of physical therapy that all also have this background with the Nike Golf Performance.
So it's not just you.
It's not just me. I just like to talk about it more than others as the owner. But if you go to our website, thesuperiortherapy.com, or just Google Superior Physical Therapy, we have a whole video library of actually, I believe it's Dustin Johnson with Nike, where they took about 26 videos of him doing specific exercises for specific problems.
Oh, cool.
And you can find those all on our website. It's free.
But if people are dealing with some injuries and they want personal attention,
yes.
they can contact
yep.
you. You have one of 13 physicians that can help
yep.
them.
Yep, and everything we do is one-on-one. We have no no technicians or aides or assistants. It's a really highly customized, high-quality clinic. And definitely, if you're having pain, give us a call.
Assuming that a lot of it is covered by insurance and that
yes.
kind of thing.
Yep.
You know, it used to be funny, Andrew, and I think some of it's changed now. You used to have like a doctor's prescription or recommendation to come in. That's no longer the case,
about
right?
About 3 years ago, Michigan was the last state in the country to allow what's called direct access.
Okay.
So you can come and see a physical therapist for 10 visits or 21 days, whichever one happens first. However, we love our physicians in town, so we will still communicate with your physician, and if you have any medical history, we'll definitely reach out to them and talk with them about it. But you no longer need to do that first.
All right. So once again, this is next Saturday, May 22nd, the free Golf Pain and Performance Workshop. What's the phone number again, Andrew?
231-944-6541.
Dr. Andrew Gorecki, thanks for joining us on Finding Fairways. And again, this is free help for you golfers who are in pain, like myself.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. We'll be back after these words from our fine partners on Finding Fairways, brought to us by Carl's Golfland.
It's time to check in with our good friends at Boyne Golf. Ken Griffin's on the phone with me. And Ken, well, after opening some of the courses, it looks like the timing is perfect for Boyne to be completely open.
Yeah, we opened, but we're fully open as of Friday, Jerry. So all 10 courses, and anybody can go to, you know, boynegolf.com to book on any of the 10 courses for the remainder of the summer.
And you've got a lot of multiple play offers. Tell our listeners about those great deals.
Yeah, I mean, they're available all summer long. So while it may be more expensive to play early in the morning or in the middle of the day, we have happy hour tee times every day after 4 o'clock where somebody could save up to 60%. Or if you want to play multiple rounds but don't necessarily want to stay on an overnight package, we've got daily doubles where 2 rounds for as little as 119 midweek. You can even play some of the more expensive courses with some add-on charges. And it's, you know, great if you already have a place to stay in the area. And then we haven't talked a lot about it in the past, but family fun day Sundays. So up to two juniors can play free when they play with a paid adult. And that's every Sunday after two on the Monument, the Moor, or Crooked Tree Golf Club.
Great golf courses. We love Crooked Tree. We don't talk about it that often, but it's as well manicured and well placed as any of the other golf courses in the Rota.
Yeah, we try and keep all 10 at a real high quality standard. You know, and if you're in the area, please stop by and check out the new 30 bay TrackMan range. So you can work the lower handicap, or you can just have a lot of fun playing games with your friends.
And it's a great way to help improve your game with new statistics and data, which really can help. And then, of course, you still got the Boyne Mountain Golf Pass deal, which is spectacular.
Yeah, unlimited golf on the Monument and the Alpine for the remainder of May and all of June. And only Saturdays is locked off. You get free range access and free range balls. So, you know, like everything else, you can check out TrackMan, you can check out the passes, or you can book your tee time all on boynegolf.com.
The best website in all of Michigan golf. Ken Griffin, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you out on the courses.
Look forward to it, Jerry.
That will do it for this episode of Finding Fairways. As we like to say, find a fairway of your own, stick a peg in the ground, and pound it down the middle. We'll see you again next week.